But a letter, remember those? A letter. It was from my dear friend Stefan, who was the best man at my wedding 35 years ago this year. And I was the best man at his wedding. And on May 1st, he and his family are having a get-together in Hamburg, Germany, where he lives, to celebrate his 60th birthday, and we're invited. 60th birthday. How could that be? I mean, it seemed like only yesterday that we were kicking around West Germany and East Germany and Bulgaria and Yugoslavia and France and Holland and England and Scotland. And just the fact that I said West Germany and East Germany dates me, right? But those were the days, let me tell you. 40 years ago, before I was married and Germany was split in two and the Cold War was very much a thing. And today, Stefan is a school principal. And I've had a hit and run with life, clearly. And he's turning 60, and I'm not there yet, but just you wait, right? What happened? Time. Time. When I was a kid in California in the early 70s, my groovy 6th grade math teacher would ask me, "How do you feel about this math problem, James?" And because it was the 70s and life was groovy, I'd respond, "Oh, I don't feel very good about it, Mrs. Wilson." And years later, things still don't add up. There's this math problem in my head. The years just keep on piling on, but it doesn't add up. Because there's something inside of me, something inside of us that says, why do things have to change at all? I mean, not just why can't we always be kids, but there's something within us that just longs, grasps for stability, that safe place, you know, where time can't touch us. And that brings us to our scripture today. It's a place to rest at the end of the year. It's a place to stand in the new one, a firm footing while the river of time moves all around us and carries us along a bit. Here it is. From the last chapter of the Epistle to the Hebrews, one sentence, Hebrews 13:8. Let's read it together. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Let's pray again. Lord, your word, your truth, move it to our hearts, we pray, that we may love you, heart and soul and strength and mind. In Jesus' name, amen. So many things change. In just a few days, the clock will strike 12. All eyes will be fixed on it. There will be cheers and kisses and the shout, Happy New Year! Without knowing what's coming, but hoping it's good. And at the same time, there'll be no going back as much as we might like there to be. And the next day, mark my words, the stores, the internet ads will be filled with diet plans and exercise equipment and anything we can lay our hands on, right? Maybe you can't turn back the clock, but you can wind it up again, or at least try. But it's the same every year, right? I mean, grasping after whatever we can so that we're not swept away. But can we talk? Can we talk? We are all swept away. We have to be honest. Wishing it weren't so won't change that. That's the truth. But we're so used to living in denial that, you see how quiet it gets? It's almost as if I said something amiss by mentioning that. But that's the reality in which we live. Oh, don't be so morbid. People don't like to talk about the end of their lives or eternity. It's like that bill that you keep putting off, but one day it comes due for all of us. But oh, denial goes deep in the human spirit, doesn't it? Distract me with something, please, so I don't have to think about it. We praise God for this very reason. Because He is the one who does not change. The one who has been the eternal God, who chose to break into time so that He could save us out of it. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Let's break those words down just a bit for a moment, shall we? The same yesterday. The Jesus that you and I see on the pages of Scripture, that we fall in love with, who touched and healed, who took children in His arms, who welcomed the rejected and the marginalized, who spoke to the dead and they raised, who had so much compassion, that Jesus does not change. So we can trust Him. He is who He was. And He will never say, oh, I used to do that kind of thing, but I don't care about that now. He's the same. That Jesus that you see on the pages of God's Word. That Jesus who says, come to me and I will give you rest. He is the same. We can trust His heart. And we can do that today. The Jesus we see on the pages of Scripture, we can know right now, today. When the writer to the epistle of the Epistle to the Hebrews penned these words, inspired by the Holy Spirit, the context was basically parting advice. And it's kind of like Proverbs. He lists a number of things to do. It's in the last chapter of the letter. And here are some of the verses right before our verse this morning. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. You see how this is kind of random? He's going from place to place. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. And He looks at them and the examples that they've had and the one who made them the example that they were and says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. In all of this, what He's doing is pointing to Jesus. He's practically using His words from the Sermon on the Mount, right? Keep your lives free from the love of money. You know, don't worry about anything. And then the other advice that He gives, these are quotes. Never will I leave you. That's Deuteronomy 31:6. The Lord is my helper. That's from Psalm 118:6. And what He's doing with all of this is pointing to God's faithfulness right now. Again, saying Jesus can be trusted. And because we know Him as our helper and the one who satisfies our souls, oh, that's the compass by which we live. We don't have to live for stuff, because He is more And he will be the sweetest thing in your life. The peace that surpasses understanding. The one who understands when no one else does. The one who is able to meet you in the deepest, darkest place as the light in the darkness. The one who will never leave you, never forsake you. The hope that is an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. And when you wonder, oh, could I share this with anyone, even those closest to me? He is that one. The one that you can cling to. The one that our souls were meant for. Right here, right now, come what may. His presence, our beautiful Savior, Emmanuel, God with us, who knows us in the depths and loves us deeper still. That Jesus lives and is risen and longs for us, for you and me, to draw close to him. Emmanuel. God with us. And so we can keep going. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Oh, you and I will know his goodness, his love forever. Can you hear it? This is the part where Handel's Messiah breaks in. King of kings, hallelujah. Lord of lords, forever and ever. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Our friend, our Savior, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world so that we, even we, might run with bare feet on golden streets as the children of God and live for the praise of his glory. Walking on holy ground. Oh, some might say, that's just wishful thinking. But in 3 decades of ministry, I've seen too much now to somehow dismiss it. And it makes me long for him. All the more. The world tells us this life is all you've got, so live for it. But the more you live, the more you come to the point where you say, really? Really? Is this all there is? Oh, come on. Come on. There's got to be more, right? Like the old story about the optimist and the pessimist, there's got to be a pony in here somewhere. Listen to this quote from Sheldon Van Auken, who was a friend of C.S. Lewis. They corresponded together. Van Auken was considering heading into the ministry, and Lewis, interestingly, had some advice about that, But listen to this. C.S. Lewis, in his second letter to me at Oxford, asked how it was that I, as a product of a materialistic universe, was not at home there. Do fish complain of the sea for being wet? Or if they did, would that fact itself not strongly suggest that they had not always been or would not always be purely aquatic creatures? Then if we complain of time and take such joy in the seemingly timeless moment, what does that suggest? It suggests that we were created for eternity. Not only are we harried by time, we seem unable, despite 1,000 generations, even to get used to it. We're always amazed by it, how fast it goes, how slowly it goes, how much of it is gone. Where are we, cry, is the time gone? We aren't adapted to it, not at home in it. If that is so, it may appear as proof, or at least a powerful suggestion, that eternity exists and is our home. forever. Are we preparing for that? Are we ready for that? Or are we just going about life as if it will never change? I could show you that picture when I was 18 again. I'd rather not. Are we open and aware of the realities that we live in today? And in the middle of all that, are we open to Jesus? To the possibility that he might just be who he says he is? Right here. Right now. That he can help us and save us and change us and lead us into the life that he so boldly promises. He has such a focus upon eternal life. Why? The most amazing person, arguably, who ever lived. Why would he give all of that up? Yet he said it was the very reason he came. Forever. I'd like to share a hymn with you. It's an old one. It hasn't been included in hymn books for over 50 years. But it was written by John Newton, you know, the former slave trader whom Christ would transform. Christ would save him, turn him into an abolitionist. He became, of course, the author of the hymn Amazing Grace. But I want to warn you before I read it. The hymns in that period were very honest. And Newton was a direct man for his time. And this hymn or poem is about the beginning of a new year. Are you ready? Here we go. See? Another year is gone. Quickly have the seasons passed. This we enter now upon, may to many prove our last. Mercy hitherto has spared, but if mercy's been improved, let us ask, am I prepared, should I be this year removed? Some we now no longer see, who their mortal race have run, seemed as fair for life as we when the former year begun. Some, but who God only knows, who are here assembled now, ere the present year shall close, to the stroke of death must bow. Life a field of battle is. Thousands fall within our view. And the next death bolt that flies may be sent to me or you. While we preach and while we hear, help us, Lord, each one to think vast eternity is near. I am standing on the brink. If from guilt and sin set free, by the knowledge of thy grace, welcome then the call will be to depart and see thy face. To thy saints, while here below, with new years, new mercies come. But the happiest year they know is their last, which leads them home. Home. Where? Where Where is your home? Where is your treasure this morning, even now? Is it with him? Is it he? May we pray. Lord, sharpen our vision to understand that we stand right here and breathe because you sustain us every moment. Oh Lord, help us to long to see your face, to be ready. Lord, help us to see you as our treasure and to know you today and forever. You said that if anyone loved you and obeyed your teaching, that you and the Father would come to them, that the Father would love them, and you'd make your home with us. Yes, Lord, yes. Oh, we want to be at home in your presence here so that we can be at home in your presence there. And dear one, if there is any question about that, if there is a need in your own heart and mind to say, yes, Lord, I'm not as at home as I should be, would you talk honestly with him about that right now and ask for his help? Would you tell him, Lord, I want you to be my treasure. Help me with this. I want to look forward to you. I don't want my life to be just determined by the ups and downs. You do not change. Hold me, Lord, in the palm of your hand. Forgive me my sins. Cleanse me. And fill me with your Spirit and give me new life, so that I look forward to you most of all, so I may be ready. And not just ready, but praising you for it. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.